And the first item on our agenda is the consent agenda. And those go down to, all the way down to item number three. So it's the minutes from last meeting and the approval of the agenda is all. So if I can get a...
So moved.
Motion. And Margaret's tardy. Let me mark that down.
I'll go stay in the corner.
You've got a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Consent agenda's been approved. Public forum. This is the time for members of the public to offer comments concerning matters not scheduled to be heard before the Board of Health today. Is there anybody that wants to come forward? Not seeing a rush to the mic. We have no public hearing items. Agency and departmental report. Youth and Shelter Services. Denise Denton. Thanks for coming.
For having us. Yes, I brought an entourage. Couple things. One, just business as usual at Youth and Shelter Services. The school year has started, and so we have our prevention specialists are working in all the school districts for the most part, doing science-based education. And we're also working with a lot of different youth groups, Mayor's Youth Committee, Game Changers in Huxley, the Champs over in Collins Maxwell. So those kinds of things are per usual. What we want to focus on today, though, is some work that we've been doing concerning a new ordinance with the Prevention Policy Board. And just to give you some background, as well you know, last year we came before the board to talk about banning vaping devices to underage individuals, and that then went through as a state law. This is what the Prevention Policy Board considers to be the next logical step with that, in that they are looking and they have put together an ordinance that would speak to prohibiting the use of those vaping devices in public spaces. So to give you a little background, we have spoken with the Departments of Health in Utah, New Jersey, and North Dakota. All of those states have total ban on vaping devices in public spaces. We've also spoken with the health departments of New York City, Chicago, and LA, who have also now have a total ban on vaping devices. There are a number of states that have variations of that, and there are a number of municipalities that have variations of that. But we looked to what those groups did to make that a total ban. And the ordinance that we have put together in conjunction with the Story County Attorney's Office is the best of the best of that. So in talking with all of those, we looked at what they found to be the most effective best practices in terms of looking at ordinances like that. And what we'd like to do today is have Eli Bratch Prince, who is a member of the Prevention Policy Board, take it to the next step and speak for the policy board. If you have no other questions for me,
nope.
Or what questions do you have for me?
Nope.
That was a quick and dirty version, but
sounds okay. Good.
Okay, so on behalf of the Story County Prevention Policy Board, I'm here to ask that the Board of Health partner with the Prevention Policy Board in taking the ordinance prohibiting the use of e-cigarettes and other vaping devices in public places forward to the Board of Supervisors.
Okay.
So, yes, that is why I'm here.
This is actually an item on our agenda for today, but it's not an action item. It's more of a discussion item. So this would be an opportunity for any members of the Board of Health that had questions about it to talk about. And I would like an opportunity to talk to the county attorney about it a little further before we actually have an action item on our agenda. I do know that I've had conversations with several members of the Ames City Council. It's my understanding that the City Council in Ames is in no big hurry to look towards a ordinance that would ban e-cigarettes in public places. And they've also gone so far as to say that they would just assume that the Board of Health or the county not pass an ordinance at this point that would cover the city of Ames for the e-cigarette. So I think for me, I need to have some further discussions with members from the City Council and the city of Ames to see where they're at on it, what their thinking is on it. I know Tim Garten's pretty pretty vocal about it, not wanting to have a county ordinance that's trying to be enforced in the city of Ames. He has some concerns about that, as well as I think some of the other council.
As a legal? Why, Paul? As a legal issue, or?
I don't know so much that it's a legal issue. He would just assume if it's going to be an ordinance that the city itself pass the ordinance. That way the city can enforce it. If it's passed as a county zone, or excuse me, a county health ordinance, then it's up to the it's going to fall right back on our environmental health department, I think, to try to enforce it. So there's some questions there. I mean, I think we had some similar discussions a year ago with the there he is with the with the e-cigarette ordinance in general. So, I mean, those are some of the concerns that I have and some of the discussions that I have to have. We're talking about a countywide e-cigarette
and
ordinance.
E-cigarette. Yeah. I don't know why we can't. You know, someone's got to start it. I don't know why we can't start it.
Right. And I'm not saying that we can't, but I'm not in a position yet in order to vote on it. I mean, we haven't had any very little information on it. I mean, we talked for a year on the other ordinance. And so, you know, we can certainly set it for a discussion and consideration or take action on it at our December meeting. Is that right? Yeah, at our December meeting. But I think at this point, if we can have some discussion on it, see what you gentlemen, and we're missing our fifth member today, and maybe give her the opportunity to weigh in on it a little bit too.
Isn't a big issue about this ordinance, which I'd be much in favor of, is that we can't pass a more restrictive ordinance than the state did?
Right, and this covers the use in public places.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a different.
Right. It's a different. I mean, okay. we're covered as far as the use and the sale by two minors, or the use of thereof, but this actually covers the use of those devices in public places. So, and I think part of the other conversation that I've had is I think they're waiting until somebody comes down and says yes or no. They're either dangerous or they're not, or whatever's being used in them is dangerous or it's not. So.
Well, I think we know that they're putting stuff in there that shouldn't be.
Right.
I mean, they're putting marijuana stuff in there. And here recently I heard of something else they're putting in there now. I'm not sure what it was called. But, I mean, I think there's no end to what this is going to lead to.
Right. So that's where I'm at on it. We can certainly have it on our – we'll put it back on for December. And that'll give – you know, if anybody else wants to talk to any of the council members from – the city of Ames or the county attorney's office, and because I've had no conversations with them about this up to this point. So, I mean, I don't want to sound like we're kicking the can down the road, but this is, you know, we took quite a bit of time with the e-cigarette ordinance itself before we were ready to make a decision on that. So, and it'll be, I think if we do our homework on this end, it'll be better. Either way we go, when the ordinance eventually will go to the Board of Supervisors. So that's kind of where I'm at. I don't know if you guys have any other feeling, or I would just encourage you to take the opportunity to do a little research on it, and we'll have it on our agenda for December meeting, and we can, like I said, we can have it as an action item.
Yes. Information. Who enforces the no smoking policy?
Well, you know, it's technically, since it's a state law enforcement officers can enforce it. I think it gets a little iffy when it's a county ordinance who actually enforces it. And I think that was one of Margaret's concerns, is that, you know, if it's going to fall to her department to do the enforcement, I think that, you know, what do you do when you see somebody in a restaurant at 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock at night? I mean, do you call Margaret and say, "Hey, you need to come over and write this guy a ticket"? Off a city ordinance, as long as they've got permission from the city to do it. So, right, Right.
So with the Ames Police, they'd have the same.
But I think those were some of the questions that came up when we talked about the e-cigarette ordinance. So I would just encourage you guys to do your homework on it.
How many states did you say that had already banned the in the public?
Utah, North Dakota, and New Jersey.
Okay. Anything else on that for now? Very good. We'll hear next then from Mary Greeley. Doesn't look like Eileen Mullen, but that's okay.
So we'll talk about it a little bit more in December?
Yes.
Will we vote on it then?
Are you finished then?
We are finished then.
Are you sure? I don't want to say, if you guys have got more, you...
But I screwed up by jumping ahead on the agenda, I think.
That's okay. Okay. We're not going to penalize you. This time. Okay. All right. Okay, now we're ready.
Eileen is on vacation, so my name is Terry Olinger, and I work for Story County Public Health. And the first item here is Patsy and Eileen's budget. Patsy informed me to inform you that because of the iowagrants.com website is first up, and we first had training on that last week, that she is has just started billing on it. So I guess to let you know, it's a little behind. So she said that would be the big takeaway with the budget page. So let's see. Then on to diseases. July and August were pretty quiet. The malaria case did not come from mosquitoes in this country. It was a traveler. The salmonella case was a food worker that we did do the follow-up. They had to have two negative stool specimens, and we did the follow-up on that so they could go back to work, and they didn't work while they were sick. In September, we had a case of dengue fever. We had a case admitted to Mary Greeley with influenza A, and then we had the chikungunya case. Is one case as well. I think it was the second case in the state. So let's see. We've had a handful of, and Dr. Passion, you may want to speak on this, of kids with enterovirus in the hospital, just a couple.
Yeah.
Has it increased over the last week? Because that's when I checked with your department.
Not everything I could tell. Now, were these enteroviruses that were associated with the respiratory component, I'm assuming?
Yes.
And were they confirmed?
Because there's
been a lot of talk about with our hospitals, our pediatric hospitals, that they really think that these children had it.
But
I have not heard of a confirmatory case.
I have not either.
See, that's what I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether they're truly confirmed because it's kind of a nonspecific disease.
Yes.
It's a bronchiolitis associated with a red throat. And other viruses can do that also.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, you know, and while we do have some children in the hospital with wheezing and some bronchiolitic cases, I'm not sure, I can't say one way or another, but I'm not sure that there has been confirmed cases.
Yes, they're suspected.
What is it? Enterovirus 68?
Is that one?
68.
E68 or something?
Yeah.
So that's the same one, okay.
Yeah.
So, and I know the state has not really been encouraging a lot of testing on it. But we could. And I'm not sure if they have been. So that would be an interesting thing. But you think you'd hear about that.
Right.
Yeah.
And we have not.
So I would think that my gut feeling is that it is not confirmed.
Okay. Let's see. We also, I guess, we did have one case of influenza A in September, and there was another diagnosed case just this week, influenza A.
Yeah,
another.
I heard there's been 4 to 5.
Okay.
At Mary
Greeley. So we're starting already. And as far as with Ebola, we have met, we have people ask if you're ready or you're not ready, and we're ready just because you're ready for all diseases, you know, that are serious and fatal like this one is. So we did have a meeting last week and with Mary Greeley Emergency Department and with ISU, with Ames Fire, Ames Police, so that we're all ready to roll in case we do see something. So, and let's see, lead levels.
Just back up on
sure.
That. Does Mary Greeley have an isolation room that could handle the case?
Yes. We have 8, I believe. Yep.
They're reverse isolation, mm-hmm. and that's the thing about Ebola is everything that I've been read about, it's just routine. I mean, not routine, but it's just isolation procedures.
Mm-hmm.
Just strong isolation procedures, similar to what we used to do with chicken pox.
Yes.
That's how I understand
mm-hmm. Any other questions? All right. We have had a couple high lead levels in August. I was able to make a home visit with Margaret in Ames. The other home that was of the child was a little more challenging to visit, but we did visit in September. And Iowa Department of Public Health is transitioning to a database or a web, what do you call it, web-based system called... Not Stellar, but Healthy Homes. The nickname is HELPS. So we'll be doing more documentation. And actually, I have tried to document on these cases, and I cannot. Yet. Yet. So we're working on it, or they're working on it. We've begun our annual fit testing. Our new grant year started in July for emergency preparedness. We did have an exercise with RSVP and a McFarland Clinic with United Way Day of Caring, a vaccination exercise. So that was a good one. And then we are meeting, our Story County Healthcare Coalition is meeting with Boone, and it does look like we have joined together into forming our acronym CBS HELPS. So it'll be good that our next meeting is on the 17th of October. Our senior clinics are busy. We are incorporating flu vaccination clinics with our senior health clinics just to make it convenient for seniors who can't get to the doctor. Let's see. Our immunization billing is still going. It's like anything new. We're getting the kinks out of that one, and it'll be a good thing in the long run. Our immunization clinics are very busy with school audits starting and flu clinics, and kids' clinics are just busy, busy. We also are serving 7 Story County residents through office visits. They are getting their needed injections every couple weeks. And that... one more thing, the handout, the new recommendations for pneumococcal disease with Prevnar and, it's leaving me. Oh, the pneumococcal for adult, I can't think of what it is now.
Pneumovax.
Thank you.
That's okay.
It's the polysaccharide vaccine. So it is now recommended for... actually, persons over the age of 65 to have a dose of Prevnar and Pneumovax. And actually, there were many studies done in that after they, one of them that was interesting was that when Prevnar was PCV13, they started giving the incidence of pneumonia in elderly went down even further. So with the indirect data of vaccinating. So this will be a good thing, adding PCV13. It's just extra coverage for people ages 65 and over, and also those with health conditions that warrant the Astra vaccination with Prevnar. This is a good thing for those who are prone to getting pneumonia. So.
Well, the Prevnar is a different-based vaccine, not only different strains, but it works differently. And,
yes.
And certainly it's been shown to work very, very well in children, so that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, though.
Yeah. So we are already...
for pneumonia.
We'll get an order over there for you, Dr. Passion. We'll get an order over there for you to sign.
Get it. I'm gone next week, so if you get it there this week, I'll sign it.
Okay, very good.
And the other thing, too, is, Terry, if you wish to know kind of what we're seeing at the hospital, probably mm-hmm. the better contact person besides me now, since we have a hospitalist program, is to talk to our pediatric hospitalist, Laura Hufford.
Okay.
She was actually the best source, so she would actually be able to answer that question for you.
Okay.
Most of it is, you know, what I'm just in contact with. Mm-hmm. But she's actually the primary one in the hospital.
Does she have a hospital? Well, I can get her email address.
Yeah, she has an email. She has a she's kind of the head of the pediatric hospitalist mm-hmm. program. She's like the Karen Carlson of the hospitalist, and so
okay.
she would be able to tell you. And she works very closely with Dr. Arbulu on certain issues.
Okay.
And so she would be she'd be a really, really good contact for you.
All right. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Terry. Next is Environmental Health, Margaret Janes.
Hi. Sorry, I didn't have this plugged in earlier.
I've already heard this, but I'm going to spoil the ending for you.
Really? Oh, this is a spoiler alert.
yeah. This way I only have to get dressed up once every quarter instead of twice. Here we go. Okay.
This is what we caught growing in a in a septic system. How did rolling?
We don't. Oh boy, would I love to see that in a septic system. Whoopsie, whoops, 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 whoops. Well, good afternoon. Thanks for coming. Septic numbers. We are at 74 this year, which is. We're setting records here, I think, compared to the 25 new house permits. So that means we've done about 50 of the replacement systems and then six repairs. For wells, we're behind in the well permits compared to previous, well, compared to 2013. I'm not sure what's going on there. We've plugged 21 wells. So grants program is still being utilized. Grants to counties, we have 24,000 remaining. We've spent 6,000 for this fiscal year. IDPH recently requested information on actual cost to plug wells. They're still offering 400. Our average cost over the last 2 years is about 630. And they are they're studying other counties to see if they need to bump that number up a little bit. For enforcement, no outstanding time of transfer binding agreements. We have 14 outstanding notice of violations, most of them septics that have been ongoing for several years, a lot of them left over from Don's era. One well that needs to be plugged, three Crestview ones, one has already been taken care of, and one lead notice of violation. And then in the year 2014, we've had 22 complaints and 10 since July 1st. You know, ranging from, I just listed them there, RV Park near Story City. Matt took care of that one. It's the Gray Water. And they've got that one squared away now, Matt, right? Yeah, pretty much. We had two complaints on Crestview regarding sewage. One gal regarding pesticides and land application. She's north of Nevada. A vacant house in Colo, which we really need to kind of come up with an idea of how to resolve some of those issues, whether, you know, the county go ahead and take care of it, and then we put that on their tax bill, something like that. But our approach is not working real well. Sheldahl sewage is now on city sewage, but it still uses the old septic tanks that were in place. And when the pumps malfunction, then it backs up and we get the calls. But it's really a city and a DNR issue. And we had a call for the Bella Woods subdivision. Somebody was discharging to their pond up there. Also, odor from a pig farm down south of Nevada here. Junk dumping and septic up very north tier of the county, and then an abandoned building call.
So, can we go back to the house in Colo? What's the issue with the house in Colo?
Rodent. You know, it. If you looked at it too long, it would probably fall down. But it is out in the country, so really no one around unless they're trespassing. So there's no danger there. There's an individual that lives across the street from it, and you know, there's rodents, a lot of rodents around that he wants. So he wants to see it gone. And it's an eyesore, you know.
That gentleman was here when he was here, wasn't he?
Right. Well, that's a different building.
Different.
That was in town, whereas this one is in a rural setting. Yeah. And I, you know, I called. I happened, one of the septic guys also bulldozes buildings. And so he went and gave her an estimate and that, and then she just kind of dropped the ball on it. So, it's a hard thing to know what to do with.
Can't a building be condemned?
Oh.
I mean, that happens in Ames.
Yeah.
Where a building will be condemned, and then the owner has to do it. Otherwise,
that's all you can do with people. I mean, if you don't condemn it, they'll just leave it there. You know?
Right. So if you condemn it, then they have to fix it or remove it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they don't, then the city can do it and charge them. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that how that works?
Yeah. So our next step is to officially condemn it?
Well, I don't know that our ordinances are written that way.
There is a state ordinance.
Is it state ordinance?
State ordinance?
Yeah.
I don't think it's as easy as it sounds, though.
No. I know it's not easy.
You have to have a legal that will back you on it.
A what?
A lawyer.
Okay.
Well, possession?
Well,
or
of the whole process.
Oh, yes. Not the building, the process. Got it.
Is it causing a health
issue?
Is it causing a health issue for somebody?
Well, it's the rodents. That's, you know. So that is in our nuisance.
The person across the road?
Better.
So the person across the road, they're coming across to his place?
Well, I guess they're... Well, a lot of raccoons and that living there, and then just, you know, coming across the street and hanging out. And
well, they said the same problem in Maxwell. That guy who talked to us was from Maxwell.
Cool.
From Collins.
Collins was the other guy. Yeah. It's near Colo, but it might be a Nevada address. You know how that goes? Craig Hans, the one across the way. That's Maxwell. Okay, sorry, I goofed. It's not Cole, it's Maxwell.
Okay.
So she wasn't interested or just didn't do anything when you offered to him.
Right, and I'm not sure. She wouldn't leave her house to go get the certified letter I sent. So the mailman told her it was from the health department, so she called me instead wanting to know what was in the letter. So she I don't think she gets out a lot, maybe, is one of the issues.
So is she living in the house?
She's living in the house. There's two houses on the property, and one is...
Okay.
I should have brought a picture of it. You can't fix it. It has to come down.
What if the fire department offered to burn it?
They check that out, and they do very few of those a year, and then... Yeah, it's just, and then the asbestos and that. So maybe it's a money issue that she can't do this at this point.
So this lady lives next to this house that has all these rodents, is that what?
Yes.
And then there's...
Oh, split it? Oh, is that right?
Right. And then the 8 septic notice of violations. I mean, are we waiting them out? Matt?
Well,
I mean, obviously, and I, you know, it's difficult when, you know, when you got to try to convince the county attorney that this, you know, this is something that we need to do.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, they've been there for a while.
Yeah.
And we know that they're, for sure, that they're not in compliance.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
One of them is even in the Hickory Grove watershed, so he got, you know, like a half-price deal going there, so.
And he's the one holdout.
No, he's not the one holdout.
Oh, okay.
That's not him. Mm-mm.
Okay.
He's the one that's kind of disappeared.
So how long have we been giving these people so far? I mean, a couple of years?
Some of them were, you know, we came upon notice or violations when we were going through the files for scanning. And it was notes in the file that Don would say, you have no system. You've got 30 days to get it in, and then it never went in. So some of those are those.
Well, it's been too long. We need to take some action if it's been that long.
Okay.
I mean, we're not doing our job if we're not
enforcing that.
Enforcing
yeah.
it, because it is the law. So.
Okay, so they've received notice of violation, so what's my next step?
That's what I was going to ask you.
Well, the next step would be to issue a citation and okay. have legal handle it. But I guess, like Matt was saying, you have to have a legal department behind you. So before I do that, I'll have to clear it with her and see if she's got the time to address
okay.
it.
Well, she has to make time. I mean, it's, if it's an issue.
Yeah, well, that's right, Mark. Yep, you're right.
So we had, I remember we had one of these a few years ago that had been on the books, I think you told me, 8 or 9 or 10 years. And then we had gotten a hold of the civil attorney at that time, and then all of a sudden this guy apparently saw the light and decided he was going to. Now, did that one ever get, did you ever get a system put in?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I'll start off by having a conversation with Jessica about
okay.
it.
Okay. And not that she has said no. It's
right.
just that it's just really hard to get on her
sure.
to-do list.
And I think it's kind of been the, you know, maybe the position of the county attorney's office
mm-hmm.
that they would much rather try to get him to
okay.
comply voluntarily.
Yep.
But, I mean, how long do you wait? And that was my question with this one down by Kelly a few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how long do you give him to comply?
Well, what's our law? What's our ordinance say? Our rules? It's 90 days, isn't it?
Well, there's no set time. It's just you cannot do this, period. And
right.
when they're caught doing it, then we just set up a time. And it really, you know, it's as you know, it's a seasonal thing. So if you find a problem in winter, then I typically give them the next construction season to get it squared away. But these guys are just not interested in doing it, obviously.
Well, they got a couple months left, so they better get going.
Oh, try getting on someone's list. You know, it's the rain has really delayed all the septic projects. Everyone's way behind. And now they're all going out and doing their field tiling. So, you know, that's more fun. That's something new, you know. So anyway, pool tattoo tanning. We made it through, and successfully we found a lot of problems, fixed a lot of problems. Kathy and Matt did a good, great job doing this, and it really kind of stretched us. But the second year will be smarter about it and get started a little sooner. And I think the facilities are going to be in better shape as far as violations. So so hopefully they'll have a clean bill of health each time. So we've pulled in about 13,000 from the program, and outstanding, we're still about 2,000 is still going to come in. And there were no cryptosporidium cases for the summer of 2014 compared to 13, where there were dozens. So
you got rid of all the cobwebbed test kits and sit in the corner. So,
so let's see. I think the most exciting violation was the slide supports for the city of Ames. That was like way cool, way crazy. So Evan Matt found that. So. And for the most part, people are really, you know, willing to help us on this. So yeah. It was a successful year, I think. lead program. We currently have 8 open cases, and a lot of them are just dragging on, and 1 new this quarter. Terry mentioned 2, but that second one's not on my radar yet because I need 2 consecutive readings of high before I go out. The XRF is on loan from Fort Dodge. I have to bring that back this week. 1 open case turned over. Oh, okay. So this is the one that's been going on for a long time. And he sold 2 houses, one of which was an open case and still is an open case, telling the buyer that the lead hazards were all taken care of, no problem. And it's federal law that they disclose that all the information that's come up on the lead stuff. So I turned it over to EPA, and they are reviewing the case to see if they're going to go with it. So I'll find out maybe in a month or so on that. And then that HHLPSS helps that Terry mentioned. Still lots of problems. Just crazy, yeah. So who knows how we're going to fix that. And then Marshalltown received a HUD grant for $3.4 million that Story County has been included in. Paul, if you want to talk more about that. And then we have to have the cities, the incorporated cities, also sign up for that if they are interested in being part of that. HUD programs are typically really, really tough to abide by. So I'm not sure if we'll really take advantage of this. But, you know, if it helps one case, that's worth it.
Right.
At least being on the list of
it's a grant that the city of Marshalltown has had for
17
quite a few years.
Yeah,
and they've been able to rehab some houses. They actually did an apartment, or it was a fourplex maybe. Great big huge house in Marshalltown,
uh-huh.
And they completely redid the inside of it.
You know, though, it's for low income
right.
folks. So a lot of the landlord situations, it wouldn't apply, right?
No.
Because if they own a fourplex, they're not poor.
But currently it'll only cover, so if we have somebody in the unincorporated area that wants to apply for this grant, they'll be able to, because Story County, and we have to, part of the agreement is that we have to contribute some in-kind. It doesn't necessarily have to be money. But what we're going to do is help promote the program. We'll put some information on our website.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a stack of brochures probably in your office and in our office and maybe on
homeless.
And for you guys. It.
Sorry, am I allowed to speak?
Yay, or.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm close enough to Mike. Yeah, we had a case or an elevated lead just a couple weeks ago, and I didn't put it in here. I was saving it for September for the next meeting, but that the child was living with the mother in Nevada and the dad lived in Marshalltown and had just torn walls down. And then lo and behold, the little girl, their baby had a high lead level, it was 20, I think. And so, but she spends most of her time with dad in Marshalltown, but they are going to use the new grant.
Okay.
Right.
So Marshall County Public Health, the nurse said we have a new grant and they were introducing it, or getting the father involved to use on the house that this little girl lives in.
Okay.
So we didn't do the follow-up because she spends most of her time
in
Marshalltown.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think it's a good program, but like Margaret said, if it's through HUD, it's, you know, it can get kind of complicated. And they sent notice to all of the cities in Story County, and we had, I think, the representative, the city clerk from Roland, was the only one that showed up. So they've had their opportunity. They were well aware of it. As a matter of fact, I think I got 1 or 2 phone calls from asking what it was about, and they chose not to show up. So,
okay.
I mean, they've all had their opportunities, but it will not cover any incorporated city unless the city council takes the time to agree to the, you know, sign on to the agreement. So
Beta wasn't interested. Did they call at all? Because it
nope.
seems like that's where a lot of our cases are. Nevada.
Right. I might reach out one more time to the city administrator here and see if they're interested in it.
Trainings. Matt and I went to Waterwell Association in Ankeny, and I still go to the LEPC and Regents Review. Matt does the MAPS committee meetings. That's GIS stuff with the City of Ames. And Kristen does the administrative assistant certification online. Hickory Grove Trailer Park. Okay, so this is up on the corner of E29 and North Dayton, so on your way up to McFarland Park. Okay, and this trailer park here has a sand filter that's those rectangular shapes sort of in the middle of the photo there. And it's a point discharge almost right into a water stream. And so they have to have a NPDES permit. And then they have to have, they went and had to do a study, an anti-degradation study as well. And so we received notification from DNR on both of those things. And so the anti-degradation, they're going to change out their UV light and put in a chlorinator for the discharge because they were not meeting their E. coli discharge, which is a bad thing. This stream goes under the road and right into the guy's pond across the way there. And they used to use it, or they had wanted to use it, and now they don't anymore, you know, for fishing and splashing in and stuff like that. And then it's also really close to the Skunk River. So there's a lot of restrictions on that discharge. And then also planning has received interest in the park owner go ahead and closing that down, but he's not sure if he'd be able to do that. So that would be one way to solve this problem. Myself, you know, we've had reports, and I checked it was several years ago, but they have had ponding of sewage on the sand filter. So to me it seems like it's the sand filter itself that needs to be tweaked and not the discharge. You know, why not fix it instead of treat what's the bad stuff coming out, you know? But it's DNR's bailiwick, so it's their call.
So the DNR is going to take over this little deal then?
It's always been theirs because it's a trailer park.
Right.
Because of the size of it, yeah.
Would a opinion from you or the Board of Health carry any weight with them?
It, you know, it might, because they are taking comments. I wrote comments on both the anti-degradation and the NPDES, and they did retract the NPDES thing to include some of my comments on that. But, if you want me to write something up, I can have you sign it.
Sure.
I could do that.
Yeah, I think we should.
Yep.
Okay.
Because
it's kind of a big deal, and, you know, that's E. coli. Come on, you know. Ugh.
Was killing the fish and everything. I mean, I wouldn't want to live
there.
Yeah,
you saw the pictures. Well, you know, that might be winter kill. I don't know if I'm just saying, that might be winter kill on the fish because it's not that deep of a...
But they're getting smell from it, too, though.
Yeah, that's not...
smell it.
Oh, the fish? Well...
Well, the pond, too, from the E. coli, and the sewage is going in there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not good.
Their pond has become the second settling thing.
Yeah, it's the lagoon.
It's the overflow for the...
So, and then Hickory Grove Lake Watershed Project, just as an update, we've installed 3 new systems and possibly 3 more going in this fall if the contractors can fit them in. We're getting the paperwork squared away with the state. W-9s have to be filed, all this stuff that has to be done for the state to give out the money. But we're getting there. We're getting there. And then as far as the rest of the project for Hickory Grove, that has not started yet because they're still working out things with the engineer and property rights and easements, things like that. So this is really the only work that's been done so far on the watershed. So we're ahead of schedule compared to the other programs. One thing I didn't put on here was the Crestview, and so there's a sheriff there, or deputy sheriff, that reported that it was just horrendous conditions again. So I went out and I had him accompany me. He ended up walking right through sewage, raw sewage, and really raw sewage. And so I cited him, 4 violations. One was sewage, one was junk, one was fire hazards, and one was trailers that should be moved off the site.
This is the one out West Ames, right?
Correct, yeah.
I was going to bring up that today because they got all these trailers that are vacant, just all parked side by side.
Oh, it's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
And someone said that they're people are living in those, and then they're going to the trailers that are hooked up to use their facilities, and then they live. As long as the weather's nice, they're tight to tight in there. That's not good.
Well, I think we're getting some squatters there. And the problem, too, is that you got a lot of vacant ones, but then now he's calling them storage units.
No way.
He is really just butting them so that you can walk from one to one to one.
They can't even drink the water out there. The water's terrible.
So again, now this is a DNR thing. It being a trailer park, so the septic and the well, and then they're kind of an island. So the city has to be able to annex something that touches all the way to them. Right now, they're surrounded by county land, so the city's not interested in picking them up for services. At least that's what they say. Seems like there might be another reason that they're not interested in doing that. But anyway, we're working with them. I hope he didn't ruin his mound because he put huge logs that came from that different trailer park on top of their mound, which could easily break the pipes in them. So
yeah, a lot of the trailers that were in the one on Lincoln Swing have ended up at Crestview.
So he's replacing his really bad ones with the ones from the other closed-down park.
The treasurer's office is involved in it, and so is the Department of Transportation. It's a mess.
There's
and
a lot of trailers.
Actually, even with our zoning laws, it was grandfathered in, I think, 57 or 58, they think they started parking trailers out there. And technically, anytime they bring a new trailer in, they're supposed to have to get another permit, a different permit, and they haven't been doing that. So, but none of the trailer courts in Story
County. It's oversized now. I mean, there's
well, yeah. I mean,
trailers there now.
Yeah, I mean, it was. I can't remember how many lots were in it when it was open, but
they've exceeded that.
Yeah.
Well, like the first two rows, and then now that first area there needs to have all new wiring for their power. So,
right.
And I guess that's in a dangerous.
If you look
right
at the GIS, the county's GIS website, you can see the lot. I mean, that it could be, it has the potential to be a huge trailer court because that's the way it was laid out.
Yeah, but the septic system isn't designed to handle all those trailers.
No, it's not.
Nor is their well system.
No.
Or the electrical. So it's pretty strong.
So it'd be nice to have the city.
So we're working on it.
A letter to the DNR to.
I know.
On that one too.
Sorry?
We need to send the DNR a letter on that one, too, like we are the other, out of Hickory Grove.
DNR, they're out there all the time. It certainly wouldn't hurt, but they're on their speed dial, so they are. They're out there all the time. Yeah, it's awful.
So what point does it come where they just say,
yeah,
that's it?
Well, depending on this vacant, lousy trailer situation, that might be the thing that pushes them over the edge, possibly. And then, I don't know.
Well, either way you look at it, it's going to be a huge mess. I mean, one of the county attorney's thoughts was if they go in there and they haven't done the paperwork correctly on the trailers, you can't establish an owner of the trailer itself, then it's considered to be abandoned.
And then it's county material.
But then it's the county's problem to deal with. And I have no idea what it costs to deal with an abandoned trailer. The only place you can take is to the landfill in Boone, and there isn't one of them that's going to get there on their own. They're going to have to be torn apart and placed on a truck and hauled over there. So if you've got several thousand dollars invested in one trailer times 20, 15 or 20 trailers, mm-hmm.
But it's the owner. He's the one who had them hauled in there. It's his responsibility.
But you can squeeze a rock all you want. You're only going to get so much blood out of it. So
well, we do what we did to the trailer court to the south there that was down the gravel road.
That was voluntary. The owners of that trailer court decided they were going to close it on their own.
Yeah.
And that was a, I've had those conversations with Leanne. That was a huge undertaking.
It was. I remember it. We got some money. We got grant money.
Grant money for
getting rid of them.
Getting rid of them. They had the ability to apply for low income loans if they're first time homeowners.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I mean, there's.
Don worked on that too, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I think he did a lot of that work.
It was a long process, but it needed to be done because it was pretty bad.
Well, and I think the reason they did it is because they knew they couldn't afford to update this septic system. So they decided on their own they were going to close it, and maybe this was
going to happen here too. The same thing is going to happen.
I will say, though, that, you know, I was out there, and he is working on getting the branches removed, and, you know, he got the sewage problem squared away again. I mean, it's recurrent, but so it seems like.
And the sewage is more of the line coming unhooked from the trailer. Isn't that correct?
Well, this it was a clean out that got knocked off. Yeah, there's always a really good reason for it, but it happens a lot. So this summer we did radon testing in all the county buildings, except for the group homes in Ames, and all of them were in the acceptable limits, with the exception of the two houses that conservation owns, and they hired somebody to do additional testing, and then we're going to keep monitoring that and then possibly install a remediation system if necessary. But that's pretty good. I mean, this building is clean, which is nice to know, seeing that we're in the basement. And
who regulates that, or is there any regulation?
There's really no regulation. You know, EPA has a big push and has a really excellent website in that. It's not required at the time of transfer. It's recommended.
Well, for the installers, the Department of Health in Des Moines, they have to be certified to the Department of Health, the installers.
Well, it just surprised me, having recently purchased a different home, and, you know, we had it inspected and it was recommended, but it surprised me that it wasn't
required.
There's probably a lot more problem in transfers on radon than there is on lead paint.
Probably, yeah.
We are running into some problems with these radon systems that have been put in, though.
Oh, you have?
Yeah. We've had at least three in the last month. They're getting so much negative pressure, and they're pulling a negative pressure, and they're backdrafting our water heaters.
Oh.
And the carbon monoxide detectors are going off because they're pulling so much negative and not putting any fresh air. And see, a lot of these newer homes, you know, they have those high-efficient furnaces, so they don't need outside air because they have their own air in and out.
Mm-hmm.
So the water heaters are sitting there with no makeup air, and then they put a radon system in.
And suck out the air.
And it's sucking the fumes down on the chimney and filling the room, especially if they have a basement door that seals up, you know, a room. And then that sump pit is in that same, and they don't get everything sealed up because they can't find all the cracks.
Right.
And where the floor meets the walls, there's a crack. So it pulls. And so they're fixing one problem, but they're creating another problem with carbon monoxide from the water heaters. We've had three in the last month.
Is it a particular installer or?
No.
No? Okay.
Because I called the state on it to see if they were training the installers to be checking for that.
Yeah.
And they said they are, but the installers aren't checking it to make sure.
Sure. They've had the training. They're just not utilizing that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, plus it probably takes a little while. I mean, the doors are open, they're in and out, and they're gone before the monoxide levels can get high enough to read. That's interesting.
Are you seeing a lot of failures of plastic
tanks
put in the last 15, 20 years?
Not failures. The newer
collapsing.
The newer tanks are way better. They're reinforced a lot better, and then they're kind of all like a corrugated thing, so you know that you don't have to worry about the crushing as much. I know a lot of the pumpers still don't want to deal with tanks because when you clean them out, it's sometimes they will become misshapen, and it's hard to get the top back on. I've seen more problems with plastic pump chambers as opposed to tanks, you know, because especially if you don't leave enough water in it to keep it seated, they're going to pop out of the ground if you get any moisture. But they have gotten a lot better. Yeah,
I had to replace mine. Mine collapsed on me. My first one.
I had some friends that had it, and they said they'd replaced 20 or 30 of them in the last 2 or 3 months.
Oh, wow.
Installed it 20 years ago.
The new ones won't. The new ones are designed.
The new ones.
Yeah, they said the new ones were a lot better.
A lot better. And really no more, they're not cheaper than the concrete ones. But, boy, they don't corrode like the concrete, so if you could get a decent plastic one, that'd be the way to go.
Well, in my case, I couldn't get a concrete one back behind my house, so I had no choice, but that was 20 years ago. So it lasted 20 years before it finally gave in. But
so, yeah, that's not so bad. That's not really failure. That's just replacement.
Yeah.
That's just normal life. So, yeah, there's certainly a place for them, especially in settings like his where you have to get it around to the backyard with trees and that. So for miscellaneous, Chemlin Farms, we did inspect the perimeter tile, found a small problem with it, and they fixed that. They don't have the animals in yet, but they're getting darn close. Again, the weather delayed a lot of things. Septic installation within the city of Ames. This is a good one. So there's a rural property, a farm, that's right behind the co-op here that happened to get annexed by the city of Nevada. And the city of Nevada said, well, we don't have city sewer hookup here, and we don't really do septic, so just do whatever you want. You know, anything you want to do is fine with us for septic. And then because of our disclosure law that we're trying out, this worked out really well, that same property owner came in for a permit for geothermal wells. And because of that, he had to disclose to us if he had septic. And he's like, well, the city's taking care of that. It's like, what? And so we got it all figured out, I think. And now he still is in denial that we have jurisdiction. And he's not wanting to listen to me. So he's gonna hire. I told him to hire an engineer, and we would go with what the engineer recommends. But because he needs a mound out there. He's got very wet soil, but he just doesn't want to do it. Woodview Drive is hooking to Ames Sewer, City Sewer. They're annexed, and they have well water, city water, and everybody's hooked on except for the one that really needs to be hooked on, and they are giving us a really huge problem. They even have money in escrow from the people that sold them the house to get 90% of the project paid for and in, and they won't do it. So it's really something. So we're working with him. Right now it's a letter of war, and then, you know, who knows? I don't think
the city attorney take care of that?
Apparently not.
Well, they're on city sewer, so didn't they get annexed into the city?
Yes, they are annexed. Yeah. But then, you know, I called, and they said,
well,
no, there's no...
If there's city sewer there, they have to hook up. So it really falls under the city attorney to take care of that.
Well, I don't think they think that. Because I talked to the city inspectors, and they said, well, no, there's no application, so we can't do this.
Yeah, but there's city sewer there now, so
right. They
have to.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
I'd check on that.
They led me to believe that that's not the case, that they didn't have to hook up the city inspector.
That's not if you're within so many feet.
200, but that's kind of that's a state law. You can make the property owner hook up, but you can't make the city hook up to the property. You know,
oh,
you can't
okay.
force the city to do that. And finally, the OSWAP program is now offered at the Great Western Bank in Nevada, and that is a low-interest loan for retrofitting septic systems. So it's a nice thing to offer folks that have to put in a new septic. And that's all I have for today.
You sure?
I'm positive.
Okay. Well, you may as well sit tight because we've already had our discussion on the ordinance to ban the e-cigarette use in public. So do we need to have more discussion on the Hickory Grove sewage system than what we've already
had? No, we don't. Okay. I forgot that was a separate item. I apologize for that.
So then we're down to discussion and consideration of purchase of MapSmart Recon software solution.
Yeah. Matt, you want to talk about that? You feel like talking about that?
Is that this
thing? Or do you want me to talk about that?
Laser thing?
Yeah.
When I was at the Esri conference in San Diego, they have a huge expo area. And we already have what we use for our measurements. Mark's seen it. It's laser rangefinder instead of dragging a tape out 200 feet or whatever. And they had LaserTech as the company, and they had a booth there and ended up spending about an hour talking to the salesman, and he was showing me what they have. And what it is, it takes the rangefinder that we have now, and then it has this mount on a tripod that calculates the angle that it's at. So basically you take this whole contraption, whatever you want to call it, and you can put it in one spot, and then like now what we do is we go stand at each spot, like where the tank is, the distribution box, and then try to find like the corners of the house and take those measurements. And then what we do is we just come back with all those measurements, and then in the CAD program basically draw everything from scratch. But with this equipment, you can set it in one spot, basically anywhere in the yard that you're at, that you can get basically every or the most amount of spots. And you can take what we thought about was just like a piece of re-rod with a triangle welded to the top of
driveway
it.
Driveway markers.
Yeah, driveway markers, like with the reflective things, anything like that. And then you can put those at the points, and you can stand there and just turn the rangefinder and hit each one of those spots. And if you need to, you can take it and mark another spot and measure to it and then move that tripod. So like if you can only get half of it because of trees or a building or whatever, you can move it to wherever you need. Well, then it has a handheld computer thing that takes all those measurements and the angle and everything, and then you come back and you plug it in, and then with the CAD program that we have, it would come up in that program with all those points measured or marked out, and then basically all we have to do is connect the dots. You know, we could just to make it look, you know, like the system, you know, like here's the tank, the house, and all that.
It's a total station type thing with a prism thing that.
Yeah.
But in a nutshell, we don't have to come back and draw these things on CAD, which is a real.
Because what we're doing, you know, we're taking the house, drawing out the house, and then taking our circles, you know, and getting, and then making that mark there, and this, you plug it in, and all your points are right there, and you basically just connect the dots to make a picture that somebody can understand what it, you know, there's the tank and laterals. And
this is to the tune of $3,000. But it would save staff time. We've pulled in money from our pool tattoo tanning. So
you made $12,000.
Yeah.
And it is. Doing the diagrams the way we do them now, I mean, for me, it's quicker than it was when I first started when we were doing them on paper. We stepped up to the AutoCAD program on the computer and doing them that way. And it takes a fair amount of time to do these diagrams, where now we can plug them in and all the points are already there. And
with this thing.
With this thing, yeah.
You're going to have a lot more coming up. I mean, you got that new out there by me coming up.
Yes, the camera in the state.
Yeah, the camera.
Yeah.
You're going to have, 50-some more in there. And then is there another one coming up to the south there on North Dakota, a future? Huh?
That's Sal. Yeah, that's City, I believe, City, yeah. The one on George Washington Carver.
No, on North there. Dakota, there on the curve. Wasn't there? I thought there was some development going in there. I saw a sign, you know, one of those P&Z signs that they were on that property there. I think it's right on that curve, just south of the beef nutrition farm.
Yeah.
On the east side.
I don't know if it's a full-blown subdivision, is it?
Was that going to be a subdivision?
No, I don't think so.
Has that come through?
No.
Hmm.
But, yeah, you're right. The Cameron Estates, that's going to be a lot. Okay, sorry.
So, yeah.
But so anyway, you know, this is not in our budget, but it would be a nice thing to get up and going at least by spring so that when we're hit with all of those houses in that subdivision, we can have it. And I feel like we've brought enough money into the county that that it's justified.
Do you have the money in your budget, though, for it?
Right now? Maybe, maybe not. If we didn't buy chairs and we didn't, you know,
if this board approves it, then it still has to go before that.
That's right, for an
amendment. For the supervisor, because it's an unbudgeted item.
Other thing is another little, it's kind of a small ticket item, but the computers are being changed out, and IT does not cover double screens, just single screens, so I have to buy a couple of them.
I don't know how much those are.
Not much.
400 a piece, maybe.
I think
140.
So it's $300-$400.
Okay.
So Paul, what happens to the money that they've made? Can that?
Well, they didn't actually make it. It was budgeted for. You said today that the money that you took in from the inspections.
So it went into the general fund.
Yeah. So it was budgeted for.
Okay.
So. Yeah.
We need a motion.
Yeah, we need a motion to prove this if that's what
if it works into the budget, then we can go ahead, and then maybe toward the end of the year, if we need just an extra couple hundred, we could get an amendment to the budget to help us out.
Yeah, there'll be a budget amendment coming up at some point before the end of the fiscal year. So,
does this require any special upkeep, like software?
No.
Repurchasing?
No license.
Upgrades?
Licensing?
No, because the only license is for what's on the handheld. We already have the AutoCAD software.
You've already got that part.
Okay.
And this stuff should just last a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's pretty long lasting.
Well, you'll end up with a better product anyway, won't you,
mm-hmm.
when you're all done?
Be more accurate.
Yep.
And then 15 years from now, when somebody's looking on the files, they can...
They'll still be able to find their DBOC.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I move that we approve this.
Second.
Okay, we've got a motion, a second, to approve the purchase of the MapSmart software solution for the health department. Is there anything further? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, so I would put it on an additional item on the board, the supervisor's agenda.
Okay.
It doesn't need a supervisor, though, does it?
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have control of the pot of money that they give you.
If it's an unbudgeted item, it does. And anybody has to do that. Any unbudgeted item has to get, you know, unless you're an elected official, then it simply takes. But they still have to bring it for the board to acknowledge. But if it's a department and it's unbudgeted expense, it has to be approved by the board.
Okay, so like on the consent agenda?
I would put it under additional items so you can explain it.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. It looks like the last thing is on the, and I didn't bring the flyer with me. I think it's October 24th. The Iowa Public Information Board is going to come up and do some training for anybody that's interested. And basically what they do is they cover boards and commissions that are regulated by the open meetings law.
August 24th?
October 24th.
October.
And I can send out, I'll scan in the flyer and I'll send it to you guys if you're interested. It's being held up here.
What day of the week?
Isn't that October?
Date doesn't sound right, because I thought I was going to be out of town and going to miss it.
Friday.
That's during the day, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look, I got the flyer on my desk. I'm sure it's the 24th. Almost.
I don't.
Yeah. I'm going with you. I think it's the 24th. I'll send you the scan the email or the flyer in and send it to you.
Do we have to RSVP or register beforehand?
Okay. No. And if you don't want to come, you're not going to hurt anybody's feelings either. So.
When's our next meeting?
Can you write an excuse that I can go for?
No, I won't. But our next meeting will be today, so you don't Kristen, December.
That wasn't that. 4 minutes.
First Tuesday.
That's election.
No, that's December. Election day is next month. This is our next meeting.
I thought you said November.
No. December 4th. Second. December 2nd, 12-2.
And then, let's see, so we'll probably talk about budget stuff, right?
2 o'clock. Yeah, that will be the time when we're going to discuss budgets. And we'll discuss salaries along with that, because we decided last time that we were going to do that. We're going to start having those discussions.
Okay.
So don't be late.
Hey, he was later than I was, right? So
okay. Any comments from the staff? Any comments from any board members?
I was only 4 minutes late.
That's not bad. That's on time, typically. If not, I'll take a motion for adjournment before we get out of control.
So moved.
Second.
Got a motion, a second for adjournment. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Or adjourn. Okay. Okay. October 24th.